Welcome to session number three in our seminar on Christian decision making. Now, in this session, we will discuss some models which should be helpful in appreciating what's involved in this important subject of making good and right decisions in life. As far as our outline goes, we are still under Roman numeral 2, concepts for understanding God's will. We were looking at figure 10 at the close of our last session. We said that this is the best diagram for representing Christian decision-making because we want all our decisions to not only be in the sovereign will of God, but to be in the moral will of God as well. Furthermore, you will notice that the diagram of figure 10 has both the dot representing the traditional view of making decisions and following the will of God for our lives, and the diagram also has the dotted line circle as well, representing the alternative view of making decisions and following the will of God for our lives. Now, before we go further and explain why we have both the dot and the dotted line circle, look at figure 11. This diagram should help us further appreciate and understand better the different aspects of God's will, as well as the overall concept of God's will. In figure 11, we see four dots on the diagram. Number 1, 2, 3, and 4. These dots represent events that will happen or will not happen, as the case may be. Dot number 1 is outside both the sovereign will of God and the moral will of God. Dot number 2 is in the sovereign will of God, but outside the moral will of God. Dot number 3 is in the moral will of God, but not in the sovereign will of God. And dot number 4 is within both the sovereign will of God as well as the moral will of God. All events or non-events can be represented by those dots on this diagram. Now let's take some examples of events and see where they fall on the diagram. Let's take the event that everyone here this morning commits suicide in the next 3 seconds. Now we know that event is not in the moral will of God. Is it in God's sovereign will? Well, let's check it out. 1001, 1002, 1003. Did anyone die here the last 3 seconds? No? Well, then that event is represented by dot number 1. It is outside both the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God. What about the event that everyone here this morning sins before the end of this year? Is that event within the moral will of God? Clearly not. God's desire is that we do not sin, 1 John 2:1. But is it in the sovereign will of God? Unfortunately, yes. Everyone here will sin before the end of this year. Remember, you perfectionists here this morning, that there are sins of omission. So that event is represented by dot number 2. Outside the moral will of God, but within the sovereign will of God. What about the event that everyone here this morning be a 100% committed Christian for the rest of our lives? Is that event within the moral will of God? Clearly, yes. Think of what this group here this morning could do for the glory of God if we were all 100% committed Christians. But is this event going to happen? Unfortunately, no. So while this event is clearly within the moral will of God, it is outside the sphere of his sovereign will, and therefore represented by dot number 3. Well then, what about the event that everyone here this morning learns something from this seminar? Is that event within the moral will of God? We believe it is, and we hope that it will be helpful to everyone. Is this event within the sovereign will of God? I certainly hope so. I mean, everyone here this morning should learn something from this seminar on Christian decision-making. So this event is represented by dot number 4. Well, now I think you can see exactly why we want to make our decisions in the area of dot number 4. Within the moral will of God, and we want it to happen. We want our decisions to take place. So it would be within both of those spheres, the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God. So we want to make our decisions in the area of dot number 4. But now again, back to the question of why the diagram in figure 10 with both the dotted circle and the dot is the best diagram to represent Christian decision making. Now, most of you have probably already figured this out, but think of it this way. From God's perspective, it is the dot concept. God is omniscient. He knows everything. There are no dotted lines with God. In fact, if you infringe on the omniscience and sovereignty of God, before long, you are affirming open theology where God no longer is sovereign over everything, and God no longer works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. However, from our perspective in Christian decision-making, we start with the dotted line circle of God's moral guidelines in Scripture, where we make decisions. We don't know the dots. So we start with the dotted line circle of God's moral guidelines in Scripture, the area of freedom, and that's where we make decisions. We don't know the dots. But if we follow the means that God has given us, we will be guided into the dots of God's will for our lives in the decision-making process. We may never see the dots, but we can know that we will be in the center of God's will and where he wants us, and not just in a general area of moral guidelines, when we start with the area of freedom that he's given us and use the means that he's given us. Call it the way of wisdom. So here's the way it works out in everyday living. For the small day-by-day decisions, such as what clothes to wear, or whether or not to stop for coffee, or brush our teeth, or use the back door or the front door, we use our sanctified common sense and make our decisions almost automatically, even though we know and realize that the course of our whole lives could be changed based on one of these small decisions. But we leave that in the hands of God. We know that God knows all the details and cares for us and will guard us and will protect us as we continually commit our lives to him in prayer and dedication. So in the small everyday decisions of life, we just assume on the basis of Scripture that if we're walking with the Lord, he is guiding us with his eye upon us, Psalm 32:8, and he is directing our path, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. But now what about the larger decisions that we have to make in life? Decisions where we go through a decision-making process. Well, here's where we start with a dotted line circle that is in the area of freedom bounded by God's moral guidelines of Scripture. And now we use not just our sanctified common sense, as in the so-called automatic small decisions of life, but we also use the other means that God has given us, as shown by the arrows in figure 12. Common sense would be just one of these arrows. Now, we will discuss these arrows in our next session entitled Roman numeral 3 of our outline, Means for Directing Our Path. The dot in figure 12, we could say, represents God's perfect will in any big and important decision we must make in our decision-making process. But once again, we may never see the dot, as in figure 13. However, we can be sure that if we use the means that God has given us for directing our path, we will be homing in on the dot, or God's will for us in that important decision that we have to make. I love the illustration of the golf green model. Those of you who are golfers here, I'm sure you can appreciate this model. The perfect golf green for us would-be golfers would be a slightly bowl-shaped green with a cup at the bottom of the bowl. Now think of that dotted line circle in three dimensions as that perfect golf green. As long as you are on the green, all you have to do is putt in the general direction of the hole, and the ball will break toward the hole and eventually go in the hole, even though it may go back and forth a few times around the hole. You see the illustration. As long as you start your decision-making process within the dotted line area of freedom bounded by God's moral guidelines and begin to think and move in the general direction of the center, the means that God has given us will continually correct us and guide us toward the center of God's will. Another model would be a servo mechanism, like a thermostat, which constantly zeroes in on the right temperature because of continual feedback. Another model would be the TomTom, or GPS device, where it is constantly readjusting and recalculating to continually guide you to the dot, as it were, and bring you back on course whenever you get off course. Well, thus far, we've only talked about the ideal way of living as a Christian and making good and right decisions. That is, starting in the right direction in the area of freedom with the moral guidelines of Scripture. But now, what happens when you make decisions as a Christian that miss the dot or are even outside the dotted line of God's moral guidelines and outside of God's moral will? And these decisions lead to events in our lives which are outside the moral will of God. Or to use the model of the golf green, what happens when you putt in the wrong direction? Or you're not even on the green? You took the wrong job? Or you went into the wrong line of work? Or you married the wrong person? The person God intended you to marry was in California, but you were in Connecticut. And you didn't wait on God, and you didn't use your common sense, and you did not listen to godly counsel, but you were in love and you just couldn't wait. And now you're stuck. I'm so sorry. Seriously speaking, what happens when you make a bad decision, either deliberately or ignorantly? Can you ever get back into the right area of decision-making again? Are you somehow out of God's will for your life permanently? What's the answer here anyway? The biblical answer, of course, is Romans 8, 28 and 29. I'm reading Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Notice, all things are not said to be good here, such as bad decisions and the bad fallout from these decisions. But God can work these things, including his discipline, together for our good. And that good, we see in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, is to conform us to the image of Christ. That is to sanctify us and make us more Christ-like. This is his will for our lives. Now, all of this does not justify our bad decisions, and God in no way condones our bad decisions. But in his sovereign grace, we can continue to follow his will for our lives. So that brings us back to our diagrams and models. First of all, remember that the diagrams and golf green illustration do not represent our whole lives, but rather individual events in our lives and the decision-making process leading up to the event. Obviously, as we mentioned before, we can look at our lives as one long string of decisions, and as we've already seen, small decisions can affect our whole lives, but still don't look at the dot or the golf hole as a diagram or model for our whole lives, but rather individual events and decision-making leading up to that event. A better model for our whole lives as Christians would be the sailboat model. Not the railroad track model, but the sailboat model. Now, what's the sailboat model and what's the railroad track model? In figure 14, we have the railroad track model. Point A represents where we were when we became Christians. Point B represents the center of God's will in the plan that he has for our lives. The switches represent decisions that we make throughout life. Now, is this the way it is in the Christian life? If you don't make the right decision, you get off course and you never get back on the right track. And the bigger the wrong decision and the greater the number of bad decisions determines how far off course you are from God's perfect plan for your life. I don't like the railroad track model. I don't think it's what Scripture teaches. Now look at figure 15 where we have the sailboat model. This is a much better model for God's plan for your life. I believe it's more in line with what the Bible teaches. Here we have two shores rather than two points. Shore A is the shore of salvation, and shore B is the shore of sanctification. Now, God may have brought you straight to the shore of salvation when you were young, or maybe after you sowed a few wild oats in your teenage years, or maybe after you wasted a good number of years, represented by these different arrow paths to the shore of salvation. But now you've set sail on the Christian sea of life. God's plan for your life is the shore of sanctification, as we've seen in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Let's read verse 29 of Romans 8 once again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's sanctification, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to become more Christ-like. Now it's the direction that is important. Good decisions keep us going in the right direction, as with boat number one. When we make bad decisions, our boats are not heading straight for this shore of sanctification, as we see with boat number two. As a result, we are delayed and could even be going backwards, as in the case of a carnal Christian, making all kinds of bad decisions, represented by boat number three. But we can always get going again in the right direction, even after making bad decisions and after unfortunate events. God does not condone our bad decisions, but his will for our lives is not thwarted, namely our ultimate sanctification, as we read in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, 6. So you can always get going back in the right direction. So I think you can see why I think the sailboat model is a lot closer to what the scripture teaches than the railroad track model. Now in our next session, we will consider God's means for directing our path.